A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. We have here, during this Sunday of Ordinary Time, a well-known story of the 10 lepers, only one returning to give Jesus thanks. I suppose our first thought is that we might take seriously the challenge for us to be more grateful in our lives. Grateful to many others, but especially grateful to God. But in addition to that obvious theme of gratitude, there is that curious question of Jesus. Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks? It makes us aware, again, as so often is true in the stories of Jesus, that it might be the Samaritan, the foreigner, the unacceptable one, such as we've had recently in the story of the Good Samaritan. This foreigner, one from whom we would not expect much, or one whom we are accustomed to hold in contempt or even ridicule. It looms large as a question for us today, because in our world, the foreigner is no longer someone that we might look upon as being welcomed. Here in the United States, as we struggle with our upcoming elections, we are even more aware of the controversial nature of immigration, how immigrants should be treated, whether they should be welcomed at all, how many should be deported, a continuing discussion. But in Europe as well, the mass numbers of refugees creates a huge challenge for all the countries of Europe. And is the time now for us to close our doors to them? What will be their impact on our culture, our society? Extremely important questions. But in order to respond to what a Christian approach to migrations might be, and to immigrants and refugees, we need to return to the heart of the gospel and then go from there to devise our policies. And as we return to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the question looms large. It was the foreigner whom Jesus commended for his faith. The first reading for this Sunday tells the story of the foreigner, the Syrian, Naaman, the leper, who was cleansed, and cleansed, of course, in the waters of the river where Elisha, the prophet, had asked him to go. Again, it was a question of a foreigner welcomed in a foreign land and being healed. God's ways are not our ways. It is true that God chose the people of the Old Testament, and they were his chosen people and a chosen race and a holy land. But it was never understood that God had to confine his salvific activity only to those he chose, hence the healing of the foreigner, Naaman. Likewise, in the New Testament, although there are the disciples, the followers of Christ, and Jesus is having come to save the outcasts of the house of Israel, as well as the Israelite and Judean people, his ministry many times took him elsewhere, to Tyre, to Sidon, to other places, his commendation of the Roman centurion. In other words, God's grace cannot be confined only to the channels of grace which God himself has revealed. We can feel secure about those avenues and about one's presence even in the life of the church, in the body of Christ, in the Christian community, but God's salvific activity is never confined to us, to those people, to those means of salvation alone. God is not bound to limit his love, his mercy, his grace only to us and not to them. And therefore, as we reflect upon what our own attitude might be towards foreigners, whether they be of a different race, of a different ethnic background, of a different religious tradition, we are reminded here that holiness, gratitude, was made manifest in the life of this foreigner, that it was this Samaritan who indeed manifested the grace of God at work within him. And so before we form our attitudes too narrowly or close our doors too quickly, we do have to ask the question, how come it looms so large in the Hebrew Scriptures and in Jesus' teaching? What is our attitude toward the stranger, towards the one we find strange, towards the one perhaps with whom we might not feel at home or comfortable, but we ought not close our doors to them, as the whole parable of the Good Samaritan also indicated? They are our neighbors whom we neighbor, whom in a way we reach out to. They need not remain foreigners or strangers if we reach out and welcome them. In God's home, there are many mansions, and although there are always deep, practical, complex concerns that we have in terms of how we cope with our social problems, the heart of the gospel has to remain the heart of our planning, and that God's grace may be manifest through those who come to our borders and not just by those within the borders. God's grace indeed may be made manifest to us as we realize what Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Stand up and go, your faith has saved you." And we might want to say, "Come, you are welcome. Your presence might save us."